Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Seasons of Purpose broadcast, a ministry of New Season Church International. Ecclesiastes 3:1 states, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven." We are your hosts, Pastors Jasper and Constance Whitehurst. Thank you for tuning in. And now let's begin our study in the all-sustaining Word of God.
Hallelujah. It's a new season. It's a new day. Yeah, rest on you. I can feel it. It's flowing my way. Oh, oh, oh. It's a season of power and prosperity. It's a new season, and it's coming to me. Or if you believe that, lift your hands and say,
it's a new season.
It's a new day.
Queens, and welcome. Yes, this is the Seasons of Purpose radio broadcast, but this is our special edition of Queen Talk, which we host by the grace of God every first Thursday of the month. We come together and join with other queens for a queen-to-queen, sister-to-sister forum where we discuss 21st century women's issues from a biblical perspective. And so we want to welcome each of you tonight. We have an exciting program planned for you. We have Christian author, none other than our Christian romance author, yes, Elder Lucy Heath is in the house tonight. And so shortly we're going to bring her on. But before we do, we want to go ahead and always usher in the presence of the Lord with a song of praise, then a prayer, and then we will get right into tonight's program. And be blessed as Charles Jenkins shares with you the awesomeness of our God.
Come on, everybody. Let's give God this worship. If you know he's awesome, come on, stand on your feet, everybody. If you know he's awesome, you're in awe of his grace. You're in awe of his goodness. You're in awe of his mercy. You're in awe of his provision. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Come on, everybody. Lift your hands. As we lift our voices, come on, say, my God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
Come on, say, he can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Come on, say it, have me from the rain.
Hide me from the rain.
That's it. My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
Come on, he'll heals me when I'm broken. Strength where I've been weakened. Forever he'll reign. Come on, you got it. My God is awesome. Come on, say, he can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Has he ever covered you? Come on, my God is awesome. Heals me when I'm broken. Strength where I've been weakened. Forever he'll reign. One word, come on everybody. My God. Come on, somebody lift your voice. You know he's been good to you. Testify.
Awesome.
Somebody ought to lift your voice.
Awesome.
He's awesome.
Awesome.
Come on. My God.
My God.
Verse 2.
Awesome.
Savior of the whole world.
Savior of the whole.
Giver of salvation.
Giver of salvation.
By his stripes.
By his stripes.
I'm healed. Yeah. My God is awesome.
My God.
Listen, today I am forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on, you say, my God. Come on, awesome. Lord has brought you from.
Awesome.
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 Let's talk about why he's awesome. You say, he's mighty.
He's mighty.
He's mighty.
He's mighty.
He's mighty.
Awesome.
Somebody ought to lift your voice and celebrate.
Awesome.
If you know he's been good, you say, he's holy.
He's holy.
He's holy.
He's holy.
Amen.
Yes, Lord. Bow your heads with me, please. Yes, Father, we thank you that you are indeed an awesome God. We ask, Lord God, for your grace upon this program, that you anoint, Lord God, every word that goes forth. We pray, Lord God, for blessings just to rain down upon every woman, every queen that has tuned in tonight, Lord. And we will be certain to always give you the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Well, Queen Talk audience, let's go ahead and dive in and get started tonight. We have, as I shared with you, an author that has graced us with her presence, and that is none other than Elder Lucy Heath, and she's come to share with her, with us about her book, Matters of the Heart. Matters of the Heart. Not only is she an author, she's also a teacher, a lecturer, a playwright, and a dramatist. Tell you a little bit about her book that she's going to share with us tonight. Again, it is entitled Matters of the Heart. And just to delve into some of the pages of the book of what it's about, the back cover shares this. It says, Beverly Sparks couldn't explain why she felt the way she did. What was happening to her? She loved her family, but recently she'd grown cold toward family gatherings. Now widowed for nearly 5 years, she set the family in an uproar when she announced at Thanksgiving dinner that she would not be joining them for Christmas. She was going on a cruise. Emily, her eldest, Miss Butt in the Sky, wouldn't stand for her mother traveling alone. She asked Mr. Melvin, the family's mechanic, to travel incognito to keep an eye on her. However, Emily had no idea that he had been secretly in love with Beverly even before her husband died. Would things aboard ship go as Melvin planned? Or would this be Beverly's worst Christmas ever? Tonight we're going to talk about Christian romance, and specifically the book Matters of the Heart. Well, what are Elder Heath's supporters and readers saying about her book? Dr. Lee Lewis, CEO and publisher of Women of Wealth magazine, had this to say. I have read all of Lucy Heath's novels, and I noticed that all of her characters are so vivid and real in their personalities. Her words give you a look into the very minds of the characters. They feel so real. One can almost imagine the very emotion displayed on their faces. I am always anxiously awaiting her next novel. Can't wait to see this novel on the big screen or as a TV series. I hear you, Dr. Lewis. Matters of the Heart. It takes you on a Christmas cruise with a widow and widower whose hearts still long for their past love. So many of us today could find ourselves in that same part of uncertain winter. A beautiful developing love journey. Heath's novels tell spellbinding stories that begin and end with the morals and values of the characters intact. A refreshing read in the midst of today's society. Radio audience, without further ado, it is my great pleasure to bring to the mic this evening none other than Elder Lucy Heath. Christian romance author of Matters of the Heart. Elder Heath, are you there?
Yes, I am. Yes, yes.
Well, welcome. Welcome to our broadcast tonight. And we thank God for you and thank you for being here.
Good evening, pastors. Amen.
Good evening. Good evening. Why don't you go ahead and begin by telling us a bit about yourself, and then we're going to ease into some of the questions that we have as you tell us about this incredible book, Matters of the Heart.
Well, I don't know. I am a Christian and love the Lord, and I am a senior, if I could say that. Amen. And amen. So, you know, God just leads you in different paths and things on, well, really, it's your calling, but sometimes he spreads it out in different lanes and avenues, and it just seemed to have, in my later years, this was an avenue that I was taking and really didn't know it was going to be this, and so here I am, and God is still leading me here, and it's going strong, but it did develop out of a concern that I had for young teenagers and young people that were living such a promiscuous lifestyle, and it was just something that I said, well, I know I can't just go and minister to all of them, because some of that was in my family also. And I was just wondering what I could do, how I could do my part as a writer and a teacher. And so rather than try to put out another how-to book or how to date and how to find your mate and things like that, all the do's and don'ts, the Lord just led me to write novels, and it still will have the information people need, but yet they can draw from the characters' lives, as you said, and they will be getting the information, and hopefully they'll be getting uninterrupted of the romance part. They will be getting some information on how to go about their future love life.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Well, you've shared just a bit about your journey, but tell us and tell our audience what, Elder Heath, makes your writings unique and different.
Well, what makes it different is, like you read at the end of the reviewer's statement, is that my characters begin with their morals and their integrity intact, and they finish in the same manner. One of the things is that the average romance novel can lead really to inappropriate, and I'm going to say it, inappropriate sexual behavior and feelings. And that's not what romance is about. That's what sex is about. And I don't put out a sex novel. I know there has been some very popular ones over the years, and they've been mentioned on people's talk program. And I said, let me see that. And, I mean, it was just saying everything wrong that church people did. And so what makes it different is that I'm trying to put a positive outlook on love and romance, as the Bible does, and what makes mine different is that there's a grace in there that if you go into reading it and you have low self-esteem, hopefully that would be healed. It coaches you against the spirit of being deceived or disillusioned. And then a true Christian novel may open one's eyes to whom God really is and to whom God has for them, and it helps them to pray against manipulation in a relationship. So these are the kind of things that I try to put in a romance novel.
I see that. Well, most of us as Christians, we certainly are, you know, as humans, first of all, we're relational. And most want to be able to have godly relationships. Now, just as you shared about your writing, and that is so true, you know, it's nice to know that you would be able to go out and pick up a book on Christian romance where you don't have to have it censored, where you don't have to encounter all of the sexual goriness that you actually find in your traditional romance novels. And as you said, unfortunately, this day and time, even some of the so-called quote-unquote Christian romance novels, you have be careful. So I'm very thankful to hear that. So with that said, Elder Heath, why did you choose the genre of Christian romance novels versus writing some other type of novel?
Well, I kind of asked the Lord the same thing, so I guess rather than saying that I chose this genre, it kind of chose me. It kind of chose me because I thought I was starting out writing a poem or a song like I do sometimes, and I couldn't end it. I'm like, okay, this is going on, and come to find out that it was a novel. Well, and I said, well, there's, you know, things that I wanted to do. If I'm going to write a novel, and it's going to be about romance, and I asked the Lord, I said, well, you know, why me? I've been widowed for innumerable amount of years, and I practice abstinence, and so then it just seems like the Holy Spirit spoke back to me and said, yes, that's why I want you to write it, and not someone that is filled with the spirit of lust and empowered by marine spirits and illicit sexual conduct. But he also reminded me that, come on, you know you're a romantic at heart. So he just had me to draw from those things and not my own personal, I wouldn't say experiences are in the novels, but the fact that the male and the female in these, they try their best, and they do practice abstinence. And I write these novels so people can see that there's an alternative to what the world system promotes as love when it's really lust.
Yes, yes. That is so, so very true. Without, I touched upon a bit of, in the intro, what this book, Matters of the Heart, is about. But could you go into a little more detail and tell us what prompted you to write this story, Matters of the Heart?
Well, okay, I guess you know, well, you don't know, but one of my favorite texts is, which you already mentioned and probably didn't know, is Ecclesiastes. So Ecclesiastes 3, I just love that because it talks about seasons, and there's a time and a season given to everything under the heavens, and then it goes into the different times. And so these books are called Matters of the Heart, Seasons of Love. And people go through different seasons of love in their relationship. This particular novel is the winter season of her uncertain coldness. And I think, well, really, Matters of the Heart, Seasons of Love 2 will be out in this coming November. And that season is someone's autumn. And that autumn season which we're in now, the fall, the autumn, and the changing of the colors of the trees, the leaves, and they turn all of these colors of gold, red, orange, and brown. And actuality, that's just a facade, because on the inner side of the limbs and leaves, the tree is really dying. And it's putting on a colorful facade because those leaves are going to drop to the ground and turn brown and then be crunched under the foot of men. And a lot of people in their season of love go through an autumn where they put on a colorful facade of, oh, everything's all right, and I don't need anybody, and God is really blessing me. And their leaves are really falling on the inside of them if it's not falling on the outside. So I guess the basic thing was drawn from that, and matters of the heart in this particular one, Seasons of Love, the Winter, is because in most of the writings that I'd looked at in novels and romance novels, I couldn't find any ones really where the characters were 50, 55 years and older. And I was really writing another novel about characters that were like 35 and 40 years old. And it's been a minute since I've been there. So I wondered, and I was asking God, I said, well, shucks, I don't know. I mean, you know, what does it feel like to be in love at 35 or 40? And I just put that out there and was praying, forgot about it, and I was sitting at the computer the next day, and the answer just came in my head or my spirit, and it was just download, and it says the answer was true love feels the same at any age. And
all right.
if it flows from agape, the agape source, it feels the same at any age. So the next book I had written was Matters of the Heart, Seasons of Love, Winter, and these people are in their 50s plus.
Okay. All right. I like that. True love feels the same at any age. And
yes, that is
so very true. When you're talking about the true love or the agape love of God, which, again, that's the only way that you can truly have true love, is to have the love of God resonating within you as you it resonates within you and you give that out to others. Yes, indeed.
Yes.
So I like that. Mm-hmm. True love feels the same at any age. All right.
At any age. So once you know that, you could take widowers, and they were meeting for the first time in this novel, but it's something they weren't trying to. They were on this cruise for different reasons and didn't expect anything but to sit around and, you know, stay in the room or gawk at a few things, and that was it. But God had another plan, so he knew their heart. And that was all it took.
All right. Fantastic. Well,
amen.
Just as you said here, that I was just pondering that true love feels the same at any age. You know, Christian romance.
Yes.
It's not a subject that is readily talked about in the traditional Christian church. Sometimes we get a little bit thoughts, or sometimes we get a little bit dry. We don't want to talk about, you know, the things that are topics that may be a little bit uncomfortable. And then you have those that believe that through romance, it does have an age category. You know, some people, they don't think that you can still be 60, 70, even 80-plus years old and still have true Christian romance. So with that said, tell me, why do you believe that this topic is important to bring to the forefront for discussion? I believe
Amen. And just before I answer that, true romance and love is coming back, and it's coming back in the older generation this year. I know of and have come in privy of the information of several couples, 60 and 70 and over, who God has put together with true love and got married. Mm-hmm. And so,
yeah.
Well, I think it sort of maybe have been kind of taboo in the church. Now, this is just an opinionated thing. I'm not an expert by no means on the subject of why this is. But, however, because we have fallen, the church has fallen into the trap of the world system that has been set promoting, it's been like over the last, what, I can say 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years, that it's not able to tell the difference between what sex and true romance is, because it has promoted sex so much, and sex can sell everything from a box of Cheerios to used tires. And I guess we can prove that by asking that, you know, we ask ourselves, how many of us ever hear sermons preached from Song of Solomon? Now, I don't know. Maybe it's very prevalent out there. Even today, though, in our churches, it's looked upon as something racy or non-appropriate for a Sunday morning message.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, its words may be the very message that helps or shows a man how he should appreciate the beauty of a woman.
Yes.
But because our parents, grandparents, and all them, when they got read a little bit of that, forgetting that it is, or not knowing that it's an allegory of how God loved Israel and how Jesus loves the church, we only make it applicable to the human form of the Eros love. And if I can be permitted, I would like to read in chapter 4 about verse 1 through 4 and then a couple of other lines. Do we have time for that?
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
Okay. This is Song of Solomon, and then some Bibles say Song of Song, and I'm reading from the NIV. And it says, "How beautiful you are, my darling. Oh, how beautiful. Your eyes behind your veil are doves." Now, there are some secret things in here as you listen, because now you see that this person is not a boisterous, outlandish woman, and she's kind of hidden and restrained. Then it says, "Your hair is like a flock of goats descending from Mount Gilead. Your teeth are like a flock of sheep just shorn, coming up from the washing." That means they white and they straight and they're shining. "Each has its twin. Not one of them is alone. They not unbalanced and crooked. This girl looking good. Your lips are like a scarlet ribbon. Your mouth is lovely. Your temples behind your veil," there she veiled again, "are like the half of a pomegranate. Your neck is like the Tower of David, built with elegance on its, and it hangs a thousand shields." Now, in verse 9, though, he says something about, "You have stolen my heart." There's the heart. "You have stolen my heart with the glance of your eyes." So, look, there's not any. We're all the way to chapter 4, and there's not no sexual stuff in here. This man talking good about this woman that stole his heart. And if you go down to verse 8 and 2, he says, now here's the heroic, here's the chivalry, here's what boys should learn, or gentlemen. He says, I would kiss you. I would like to kiss you and bring you to my mother's house, for she has taught me well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right.
To write Seasons of Love, and then in this last book, this character actually uses something from Song of Solomon, and when he gets to reading it, because it's something he doesn't usually read, all he can think of, you know, talking in modern-day language is, man, old Solomon, my boy must have been a brother, because he sure know how to say things about a woman, you know. So I said, yeah, I like that. Yeah. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yes, amen. Thank you for sharing that. Yes, we have to recognize that romantic love is not to be taboo. And that's how it's almost treated sometimes in the church. But first of all, how could anyone even think that? Because God is love, first of all. And I mean love at every level. He has authored love at every level. The agape, the eros, the phileo, the storge. He's authored love at every level. And see that what has happened is, as I've shared before, God has ordained and perfected. The enemy tries and every effort to bring a counterfeit. That's why you have those that, when we talk about true romantic love, then on the opposite side of that, the world talks about lust.
Lust.
So you have the true way of God's plan, and then you have the enemy's counterfeit. And so we have to be able to recognize that God has ordained, this is God ordained, marriage, first of all, true marriage.
Yes.
Let me say that, between a man and a woman. True marriage is an institution totally ordained by the plan of God.
Amen.
Sex itself, hello.
Hello.
When it's done in God's way, one of the most beautiful encounters that you could possibly experience. But it must be done God's way. And so, you know, I thank God for you as you have brought forth these books, so that, again, it provides an avenue and an outlet for those to be able to read and to know what the true love as God intended it for it to be, is supposed to look like. I'm going to get ready shortly and open the lines up so our listening audience can chime in on this discussion. I have one other question before I do that. So if you have a question, get prepared, listening audience, and you can simply press 1 on your dial pad, and we will dispatch you into the studio. We would love to be able to hear what you have to say about this topic, matters of the heart. Elder Heath, speaking of matters of the heart, Proverbs 4:23 tells us that we should, above all else, guard your heart, for out of it flows the springs of life. With this in mind, what advice would you have for those such as a widow or a widower that is back, or even a divorcee that is back on the dating scene after marriage? And then even touch upon what type of advice would you have to a younger couple that's contemplating marriage, or even those that are saying, you know what, I just rather live together. There's no point in this marriage. There's nothing to the sanctity and institution of marriage. Why should I get married? Talk to me about that. Talk to our audience about that.
Amen, amen. The best I can, and like I'm no profession in this area, but I, you know, like you said the word, the sanctity of marriage, and you can't hold that particular view if you are not sanctified, if you don't hold true salvation. True salvation is the key. The law of the Spirit of Christ has to be in you so you can be free from lust and sin, and you can be made right or righteous unto God. What I would say here is that everybody's heart is different. Everybody holds something different, or they've had different life experiences. Some have joy, some love they had, some hurts, and other hearts have come through the process of healing in these areas. They might have done it better than others. Of course, we always caution, and that's in a lot of books, to not to try to go into a relationship if you are still broken. You can't have another person to make you whole. You must be a whole person in going in. And some things you have to leave behind and let loose of. And I think in Matters of the Heart, Seasons of Love, that winter heart, she was betwixt and between of holding on, you know, not that she didn't love her husband for all those years, but even trying to get the family and the grandkids and everybody to fill that void. Well, children and grandchildren can't fill the void that the man, a man left that in your heart. So, you know, and so far as the sanctity of marriage, they, because of that free love that came in the 60s and 70s, and we don't need to say a ceremonial thing and everybody love and the peace and all of this. It was a form of rebellion, and they even rebelled against marriage license and certificates. And the thing about it, when people break those vows, and, you know, sometimes now they're leaving out God in there. But, you know, it's before God and the witnesses, and they don't realize that they are breaking a vow to the Lord. Not that it can't be forgiven, but now they don't even think they need to have marriage license or a paper. And like I said, well, I'm no expert, but I do know that. And the other thing is a couple of points, and then I'll leave off. I did a teaching on a couple of years back on romantic integrity, and it was called The Wait, the Woo, and the Wow. And shorten is WWW. The Wait, the Woo, and the Wow. And the first thing you have to do, young and old, going into these relationships, is ask God about it. That's James, book of James 4 and 2. You got to ask him, but don't ask amiss. And then Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in a man's heart. There's the heart again. But it is God's purpose that will prevail. So ask God, what is his purpose for your heart? That's the, you know, the second thing. And, I mean, that's the part of the first thing. The second is to wait. Wait for the Spirit to guide you. And you, while you're waiting, it's not twiddling your thumbs. Help him, ask him to help you to purge out the old, purge out the hurt, purge out your vessel so you can be a vessel that can be opened up and make room for the new. You can't stick the new in with the old. And the third thing is to know the voice of the wooer. That's for the men or the women. Know the voice of the wooer. John 10:26, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow. So the three things are to ask, to wait, and to know.
Amen. 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 That's some good, good godly advice. Thank you so much for that. But right now we're going to go to our phone lines. And I know that there are those that have been listening. And I hope that there are those that have comments, or if you have even questions for Elder Heath, this is your opportunity. Go ahead and press 1 on your dial pad, and we will dispatch you into the studio. We are talking about matters of the heart. Is there one tonight that you would like to share in this engaging conversation? Matters of the heart. Press 1 on your dial pad. We would love to hear from you. All right. Praise God. Caller, your last 4 digits are 4294. Go right ahead, please. Hey, Minister Manley.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thank you for having the lady on there. She is wonderful. I'm just mesmerized by her speaking on her book, and I can't wait to go out and to make a purchase and get that. It sounds so refreshing. It's like a breeze of fresh air to have something that's beautiful, that's wonderful, and know that we as Christians, we also feel love, want to be romanced, but we don't want the torrid, illicit and sinful things that some of these books have. So I thank God for you, Elder, that you're coming forward with this. God bless you. And I appreciate it, especially for the younger people that are coming up. You know, they think that everything has to be so rude and crude and just, just so ugly. And they don't know. That's not romance. That's not romance. That's, like I said, that's just illicit sex that, you know, is a dime a dozen. And as a woman, and I'm sure young men too have to know that, you know, there is a better way. And I believe these books are just wonderful. My question for you this evening is, you talked about, you know, how it's important to have something to read that's, you know, that's righteous, that's holy, that you can enjoy and still have God in it. Could you give us some pointers for us that, for maybe some of the younger people out there, or maybe some who are single or widowed or divorced, what are some things that they can watch for their hearts? What are some things they need to be careful to make sure that they guard their heart while you're, you know, maybe making yourself available or praying to God to send you some romance? But could you just give them, Elder, if you could, some things to be careful of, to be watchful for, and some things to pinpoint for, to be careful to guard your heart?
Yes, yes. Now, one of the things I did mention, and that, of course, first, is they can't be careful to guard their heart if they don't know the protector of the heart.
Amen.
They know and live for the protector of the heart, then, of course, they will be able to, listen to him. And the Holy Spirit will lead and guide in all ways, you know. So anytime, a lot of times, because the culture is so relaxed and we don't pay attention to flags that go up. And so it can be a yellow flag, and we think, oh, we can do that and get by this, and we the devil is so subtle, you'll never know if that yellow begin to push its way into the orange flag. Well, this may seem old-fashioned for some people, but the thing is, the more garbage you take in, the stinkier your life is going to be, and you won't want anything good. So not to watch a lot of garbage. Pay attention to what you look at. I mean, it's so much on these programs, and of course I'm an older person, but let me tell you, when I was younger, I did not watch a lot of stuff of promiscuity. People were saying, I think I was 20, I'm going to say 3, but I could have been 25 when I stopped watching daytime soaps. And it wasn't, I'm not saying, I was not a just, you know, I wasn't even baptized in the Holy Spirit then, you know, but it was just something. I tell you what happened. We were giving things up for Lent and back then in the church, and those days of Lent that you were fasting from something and this, that, and the other. And I said, oh, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to fast from watching this, the daytime soap operas and all of these things that were on. And I said, yeah, I can do that because I was kind of hooked on three or four. And so I did it for the days of Lent. And I said, oh, I was missing this, that, and the other. So I was going to the hairdresser, and they were talking about that. I said, oh, no, I can't do that. Let me stay out of the salon. Then I ended up trying to go somewhere else to get my hair done. But I thought I was going to turn back to it afterwards. And the Holy Spirit prompted me. He said, if you gave it up for 40 days, you can give it up forever. And so these nighttime dramas, the things that insinuate sex, promiscuity, I know there's these kind of wives of famous people show and stuff, but if you're watching all of that, you'll never get out of what the world system and the enemy is trying to keep you into. So watch what your eyes see, watch what they hear, and watch what your lips promote.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Very good advice. Very good advice. At any age. Yes, for any age. Very good advice. Is there another tonight? We have right at about 8 minutes left into the broadcast. Is there another tonight? We would love to be able to have you to go ahead and tune in to this discussion by pressing 1 on your dial pad. We'd love to hear from you. Anyone else tonight that wants to share? Caller, your last 4 digits are, the screen is shifting on me here. 3258, 3258. Go ahead, please.
I'm just calling to let the elder know that the discussion that you're having tonight concerning your book, I don't know what areas you have been in, but we know that a pandemic had been out there, but it is a discussion that needs to be held at the churches where single women's, divorced women's, or widowers could come to hear more information about who we are and how valuable we are to God and the way that we should carry ourselves, because there are so many mixed conceptions about our bodies and about what the world sees. And what we think we should loosen or like on. And I want to know about, you said something about yellow flags and orange flags. So I believe you got some more flags in your book. I want to know what they mean besides the orange one and the yellow one. So that means you got some flags in there for women to discover or to warn or to be careful about. So am I right about that? Is there some more flags out there, Elder?
But like I say, everyone is not tempted in the same area. Some people are stronger than others. You know, the words say not when you're tempted of the Lord. Some things people are past, and that temptation doesn't bother them anymore. Some people are still struggling in it. But I think, man, I got to put this in a way of a worldly song. I don't even know the guy. I think it was is it Kenny Rogers or somebody said you got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them.
Yes,
that was. Go ahead on,
Elder. Hey, you got to know when to walk away. And when to walk. Hey, those are the flags, you know. So that enough said on that. But everybody, like I say, it's different for everyone. And the thing, while you're waiting to meet someone or someone to approach you, You don't sit and twiddle your thumbs. A waiting period is basically I have for three things. You build your altar. That's knowing now how God is going to call you to pray in this. You protect your integrity. That's where we slip a lot. And you build your character. You build an altar. You, these are the things you do. You protect your integrity and you build your character. If you're a lady in wait, if you're a queen waiting for a king, you got to act like a queen, talk like a queen, dress like a queen, walk like one, because a king is waiting to see you somewhere. So if when he comes along, hallelujah. Wait a minute. I
all right now.
I'm sorry. I don't know about you, but these are things you perfect stuff in your waiting time. And you'll know how to perfect, and you'll know who you're perfecting for, because you've already done what? You've done those other things. You asked. Hallelujah. You waited.
Glory,
and now you know. You know the voice of the one. It could be many people speak to you as a lady, maybe as a man if you're listening, people speak to you. But it's just something different when God will lead you to that person. People can pass you in the store, pass you on the street, pass you on your job all day long, and they can say, oh, hello, how are you today? Hello. But let me tell you, when that one that God sent to woo you, he can say the same sentence you've been hearing from other people. But when he says, hello, how are you today? Man, let me tell you.
Go ahead. Come on, Elder. I take this now. Go ahead.
All right, now, I'm telling you. Look, Pastor Constance is a witness. That's what Pastor did to her.
Yes, she is.
Yes, he did. Yes. I'll tell you. So, well, anyway, I'll stop right there, but I hope that answers your question. And yes,
beautiful.
I do wait to be invited to some of these things. And also, before the pandemic, I gave book parties, house book parties, you know, like they have the Tupperware into this party and the jewelry.
Yes.
Well, that's one of the options also.
Okay.
Awesome.
Okay.
Awesome.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Elder Green, so much for sharing that question. We have a few more minutes left, and I want to make sure to get all the questions in. So, caller, what happened to her? 49. Here we go. Yes, caller 4396. 4396. You are in the studio. Go right ahead, please. Is this Sister Joyce?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God for the word tonight. It is beautiful, the matter of the heart. Elder, it is wonderful. And
hallelujah.
I just thank God. It's just you talking about the queen, praise God, how God just loves us so much. And how we can do so much for the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And I just thank God for you. I just can't wait until I get to purchase your book, to read it, praise God. And it just has enlightened me so much. I have really just enjoyed just listening to you talking tonight.
Amen. God bless
Amen.
You.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Joycelyn, for those comments and certainly for those words of encouragement. Well, praise God. Is there
Amen.
Another before we get ready to close out? Elder Heath, I just want to say again, thank you so much talking about this very, very powerful topic, very relevant and timely topic. Yes, we like to be able to host programs because, again, sometimes these topics, these messages, words are not shared in the confines of the church, but nevertheless, they are very relevant, and we need to bring them to the forefront. So I thank you so much tonight for doing just that and doing it, I must say, in such an elegant manner. God bless you. God bless you. Do you have any for us, any closing thoughts or any closing comments? If you do, go right ahead, Elder Heath.
Well, I appreciate you so much and Queen Talk and all of those that are listening and all of those who have come on the line. But, I would just like to say that, I think I already shared that. I'm trying to do my part in the vineyard, and this was such a turn from what I thought that I would be doing, but I just wanted to advise you, when God wants to shift and change you into another area, not change your calling, but stretch you in that or send you down a different avenue or hallway. Don't be afraid of new. Don't be afraid of the challenge. Right. I really didn't know what I was going to do with these, but since I'm on my seventh novel, I guess it's here to stay for a little bit. And so I think Pastor Constance has some contact information for you. I love being with you, and hopefully someone out there, she'll tell you how you can be able to purchase books and get in touch with me.
Yes, absolutely. With that, thank you, and with that said, Elder Heath, Elder Lucy Heath, her company is called A Novel Thing. That's A, and the word novel, N-O-V-E-L, thing, T-H-I-N-G, and A Novel Thing, L-L-C. Email address, if you want to jot this down, is Lorene, and that spelled L-O-R-E-N-E, at mail, M-A-I-L, the number 2, world, W-O-R-L-D, .com. Let me repeat that. That's Lorene at mail2world.com. And her website, and I believe you should be able to, can you purchase the book through the website, Elder Heath, or what are some of the venues for purchasing the book?
Yes, they can purchase it on the website. Some of the, it's a couple that may say to see the author, but if they have any questions, they have my email, and I will answer them directly. Or if the what they want is here on hand in my office, in my library, they won't have to send away. I will send that to them, mail it to them directly, rather than waiting for some of the Barnes & Noble, Cokesbury, or Amazon to do that.
Okay. Let me quote your website. It's www.a, the letter A, novel, N-O-V-E-L, dash thing, T-H-I-N-G, .com. Again, that's www.anovel, N-O-V-E-L, dash thing, T-H-I-N-G, .com. Well, praise God. We just, again, we give God all the praise, the honor and glory for this time. You know, we never, ever, never like to close any broadcast without being able to share with you, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior,
hallelujah.
This is the purpose why we do what we do, praise God. Romans 10:9-10 tell us that if you but confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you shall be saved. So it's just as simple as a prayer that says, Lord God, I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ came to this world and he lived and he died and he was resurrected for my sins. And so, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life. take charge of my life for the rest of my life. And my brother or sister, if you prayed but that simple prayer, oh, we welcome you into the body of Christ, your name tonight at 9:05 p.m. October 6th, written down into the Lamb's Book of Life, never
hallelujah.
To be erased. So hallelujah, we give God praise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. L.J.
Hallelujah.
Keith, I'm going to ask you, would you go ahead and just pray us out tonight? Thank you, Jesus.
I'm sorry, was that me? Amen.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen. Hallelujah, God. We just thank you. Hallelujah, God. Thank you. Bless your holy, righteous name, Father. We thank you. Hallelujah, Lord. God, you have been so gracious. Hallelujah, Father. And we just thank you. We thank you for how you're using us in the kingdom, how you're using the Whitehurst, God, with their blog talks, Father. And we thank you for this opportunity that we know, Father, that there are indeed queens out there. And they are queens and they don't know, Father. But we thank you, God, that you have been bringing it to the forefront, bringing it to our mind. And we drop off self-esteem, low self-esteem, God. We drop off, Father, thinking that we are incapable of accomplishing, Father, things. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We thank you for your word, God, your eternal word that never fails. We thank you for Isaiah 55:11, God, that whatever you have put in their hearts, whatever you have told them, whatever they have received in their hearing, that your word will accomplish for what it was sent and it will not return void. We thank you, Father, hallelujah, and we call and we demand, place a demand on the ripple effects of the word of God today, hallelujah, that it will be able to cause rivers of water that springs up in our spirit in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, God, because you are the one that developed love, your agape love. And once we go there, you said, Father, in Genesis, it was not that man should be alone, be alone, be alone, be alone, Father. And we just thank you that you designed the institution of marriage. Father, the devil comes along and he tries to do the opposite from everything that is right, God. He tries to make wrong. But we that are saved, God, and we that know your word, God, we will not go down that path, God. We come against those who are just living together and shacking up. Yes, those in the church, those in the church, those who call themselves Christians, Father, hallelujah. We come against even them going too far, Father, in their kissing and necking and getting each other stirred up. Because that is not what you called for in a Christian relationship, Father. Yes, there is romance, Father, but there is a way. And when they read these novels, Father, not that any other books don't have it in there, but I thank you, God, that these characters know how to push back and they know how to remember the foundation, Father. I just thank you for this radio broadcast, and I thank you for the Whitehurst, God. Take care of their home, their business, their finance, see to them that there's no lack, need, God, or want in their lives. Yes. And for everyone that's a part of their organization, everyone that's a part of their ministry, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Thank you so much. Queen Talk listening audience, thanks each and every one of you for tuning in to our broadcast tonight. Go forth and have an awesomely blessed week, and to God be all the glory. We love you.
Woo!
God bless. Good night.
Good night.
Generation, we've been called for to show His excellence. Hey, all I require for life, God has given me, and I know who I am.
call for to show His excellence. All I require for life, God has given me. For I know who I am. I know who God says I am. What He says I am. Where He says I'm at. I know who I am.
See you.